History is being made again today at West Park. We're plowing ground that we've never plowed before. As a young congregation of the Lord's people, we've already had a lot of firsts that have occurred. And each time we have one, it comes with a lot of excitement. But in all honesty, along with the excitement, at the same time, when we delve into territory we've not scouted out before, it's accompanied with some anxiety and some stress. It's never easy to walk down a road that you don't know exactly where it's going to lead you. It's for that reason, I believe, the Apostle Paul writes to us and tells us we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. The new ground that we're going to plow today is to suggest, to nominate men within this church family to serve as the very first elders of this good church. Each one of you is going to be asked to participate here in just a moment. And you're going to be asked individually to put forward men's names that you believe, based on Scripture and based on their performance in life thus far, you believe they will serve this congregation well as elders, shepherds, overseers. After you've done this, as we enter into this phase, this step of the process, the envelopes will be opened by the committee. The names will be recorded. They'll be sorted. They'll be tabulated, compiled. The men will be interviewed by the committee. They'll be questioned by the committee. They'll fill out a very lengthy questionnaire. It's very intense and very comprehensive. It's got lots of questions on it. When you get a product from a committee, you know you're going to get everybody's ideas. So you put the five of them together, you'll have a very, very extensive questionnaire. And they'll be interviewed by the committee. Then, in the near future, a list of names will come back to you. And they'll be presented to the congregation as a whole. And you'll have your opportunity to think about them again and to appraise them, to talk to the men if you want to. And then there'll be a period of time where you'll have an opportunity to approve what's being said or maybe question a man on something. And though we do at this point walk by faith, not by sight, since it's virgin territory for us, we don't just jump into this lightly. A lot of thought, a lot of prayer, a lot of time, a lot of planning has gone into this process thus far. This is not something West Park is just jumping into. If you've been a part of the men's business meetings through the years, year and a half, whatever it's been, soon be 2 years, you know that this subject has been discussed and rediscussed since the very beginning of this congregation. Bill Sullins, James McCutcheon, Andy Jackson, who's no longer here at West Park. These three men worked together and they wrote, they developed a process. They spent countless hours researching and developing a process that's currently being followed. And it's a good process. It's a good process. And we owe a debt of gratitude to these men. Now we've got an elder selection committee. Five men that you chose. Five men that you selected. Five men that you elected to monitor this and to facilitate the processes we're going through it now. These men, let me tell you something. I've met with them a couple of times, and their meetings go very long. They're spending a lot of hours. They're meeting sometimes three times a week. You multiply the man hours times five men on the committee, we're already into the hundreds of hours, probably, man hours. that they've put into it, and they're just getting started. Larry Cummings, Floyd Haskett, Jim Welburn, Brock Mayberry, Michael Becker. These men are working hard because you asked them to. Now it's time they're asking you for your help. And they want you to nominate men that you believe would make good elders. I'm going to ask the committee. Michael's not here today. He's out of town. But the other four, if y'all would, take your spots here at the front of the auditorium. And they're going to be distributing to you. I used to say passing out, but I hope they don't pass out. So we'll let them distribute to you nomination forms. These are going to be in an envelope. So everybody take one. Let me answer a couple of questions as we go through. Husbands and wives, do both of you fill out a form? Yes. We want every single baptized believing member of West Park to fill out one of these forms. You'll sign the form, but we also ask you to just print your name on the outside of the envelope before you turn it in. The reason for that, these men are going to line the envelopes up and check them off for the membership list at West Park. And what envelopes that we don't have, they're going to personally contact the members that have not filled out a questionnaire. The goal is to have 100% participation. So husbands do one, wives do one. All baptized believers do one. Second thing, you may be saying, well, I don't really have to do this because I know the man or the men that I was going to suggest, I know that the people sitting on either side of me already told me this morning they're going to suggest them, so there's no use me filling out the form because they're going to already be on the list. That's a false statement. Let me tell you why. The process that was developed by Bill and James and Andy says that a man has to have at least 15 nominations to move forward from this point. So if it's someone that you think would make a good elder, you need to put their name down, because unless 15 other people have done it, they may not be able to progress if you don't participate. You follow me on that? So everybody needs to put them down. I don't care if you know if six other people are going to put Joe's name down. You need to put Joe's name with it so it gets him closer to the 15 mark. So we need for you to understand that. How many men can you nominate? As many as you think are qualified. Again, these are men that you believe, based on Scripture and based on their life's performance, you believe they would serve well as elders of this congregation. Put as many down as you feel fall into that category. If you don't have any suggestions, if you say, I don't know anybody, write that down. Just put on there at this point, I have no suggestions. Sign it and put your name on the envelope. Because if you don't, somebody's going to be calling you, because they want to be sure and contact every member. So if you don't know somebody, that's a valid answer. Just put that down. When you have finished, you're going to seal the envelope up. You're going to put your name on the outside of it. And before we get done here this morning, we're going to ask you to pass those to the aisle, and we're going to take them back up. This is your one free pass. Preachers don't often do this, but I am giving you permission to be writing during the sermon this morning. Now, I hope you're not doodling and drawing pictures. I hope you're participating in this process, but whatever it is, we're going to let you do that. And so take time now, and hope you thought about before you get here, but be filling these in, and before I'm done here, I'm going to ask you to turn them back in. Y'all with me? That's the plan. Along with everything else I have described, we've also devoted a fair amount of pulpit time, sermon time, preparing for today. You may recall, it's been a few months back, but I brought a lesson, preached a sermon on why in the world would anybody want to be an elder anyway. And we talked about the cost, the personal cost that a man gives up and invests in being an elder. And the desire, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Then we talked in a sermon about the biblical qualifications that a bishop or an elder must have based on what we read, Titus, Timothy, 1 Peter. Then we looked into the New Testament and we asked ourselves, is this really the New Testament pattern that God authorizes for the church, or is this just a good idea? And we realized, as we went through that sermon, this is God's pattern. We realize, as Paul told Titus, and you heard read here just a moment ago, he said, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out that which was unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. Titus chapter 1, verse 5. We realized that West Park, by Paul's definition there, we're unfinished. And we don't want to stay unfinished. We want to bring this congregation into compliance with God's pattern that he shows us in the New Testament. And then just a couple of weeks ago, we talked about in a sermon the style of leadership that elders ought to use, ought to exhibit. And that was servant leaders. This morning, I want to spend a few minutes with you and I want to ask the question, okay, what about the followers? We've talked a lot about the leaders. What about the sheep? What responsibilities do the sheep have? John chapter 10, I'd direct you over there if you have a New Testament this morning. Jesus in John chapter 10 talks about the shepherd and the sheep. Now, in fairness, the context of what Jesus is using here and the context in which he's speaking is Jesus being the good shepherd and you and me being his sheep. But the word shepherd is one of the words used in Scripture for elder or bishop or pastor. So I want to borrow Jesus' story this morning. I want to borrow it for a few minutes and pull from it, because I believe that Jesus says the sheep have some obligations. Verse 14, Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. The sheep must know the shepherd. The sheep must intimately know the shepherd and feel safe with the shepherd. They have to have confidence that he has their best interest at heart. They got to have faith that he will stand true to biblical truths and not waver when the enemy comes and tries to snatch the truth away. They got to have confidence in the shepherd. The sheep need to respect the shepherd. They need to believe he's capable of making good, sound decisions. The sheep need to know the shepherd well enough to be able to evaluate his life. That's what you're doing right now in these pieces of paper. And lay it down against Scripture and lay it down against his life thus far. And you need to know that. You need to know the sheep. The sheep need to know the shepherd well enough to know whether or not they are qualified in God's eyes. And this can only happen, can only be possible if you know the shepherd. That's the first responsibility of the sheep, I would suggest to you. You got to know the men that you believe can serve in this capacity. Now, you may be like the little boy that was in school one day. The teacher asked him a question. He didn't know the answer. So he thought he'd flip it on the teacher, and so he said, Teacher, what do you think? Teacher said, I don't think. I know. Little boy said, well, I don't think I know either. And it may be, as I've already said, you may be sitting here saying, I really don't know. I don't know anybody this well. If you don't, do not compromise this process by just pulling names out of the air. Write on your sheets. You don't know anybody. But still turn your sheet in. But a sheep's obligation, a sheep's responsibility is to know the shepherd. And we want you to suggest men that you know or that you certainly believe will serve this church and serve the Lord well. And as I said, you're not limited to any particular number. Put down everybody you feel falls into that category. But knowing the shepherd, listen to me now, knowing the shepherd does not end with this process. If you read what Jesus is writing about and describing in John 10, the relationship of the sheep and the shepherd, knowing the shepherd is a perpetual thing. You never quit knowing the shepherd. And if it's going to be successful, and if fellowship and leadership are going to mesh together, you got to know the shepherd. And it's the responsibility of the sheep to continue to know these men. Many times in congregations, as we work with churches, a lot of times church members look at elders differently once they become an elder. They may have been best friends and go out to eat every Sunday and travel together and whatever else, and then he becomes an elder and there's something happens to where the relationship doesn't seem to be the same. It becomes an us-them relationship. Shouldn't be that way. The sheep need to know the shepherd. That's not the style of leadership, and quite frankly, it's not the style of followership that the Bible describes. The sheep's responsibility is to continue to know, to respect, and to stay close with the shepherds. And it takes effort on everybody's part. When decisions are made as sheep, remember, you know these men. You know their hearts. You know their minds. And give them the benefit of the doubt. If there's any doubt in your mind, until you can at least get that doubt cleared up, give these men the benefit of the doubt. Continue to talk to them. Be close to them. Give them help, encouragement, and respect that they deserve. The sheep need to know the shepherd. Secondly, Jesus says in verse 4, the sheep hear the shepherd. They listen to his voice. They hear the shepherd and they listen to his voice. It's real interesting. It's really intriguing. The story that Jesus tells about the good shepherd, he explains in the story. He explains that the shepherd can separate his flock, his sheep, from all the other sheep when he speaks. Because the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Now remember the setting of this. In Palestine at that time, there's lots of sheep, lots of shepherds. And they didn't have any fences. So they all grazed together. They all watered together. And it was very easy for one man's flock to mesh in with another man's flock, with another fellow's flock. Jesus said when it got time to leave the watering hole, when it got time to go to another pasture, the shepherd could separate his sheep from everybody else's simply by speaking. Because the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. Jesus said, as sheep, we have a responsibility to listen regularly, listen consistently, and listen attentively to when the shepherd's talking. And we got to hear what he's saying, but the sheep have to listen with enough clarity that they develop a recognition for his voice. Isn't that neat? Isn't that a special relationship that Jesus describes? Let me tell you, when you become an elder, when you become a leader in the Lord's church, it's easy to feel like you have become the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, like John the Baptist described himself. Because you're trying and you're talking and you're trying to lead. You're trying to make decisions prayerfully for the congregation. You're trying to keep everybody calm. You're trying to keep everybody happy. You're trying to keep everybody pulling together and at the same time do it in compliance with God's commands and in a sound biblical practices that are used. And you're trying to mesh all this together, and sometimes the people just aren't listening. They're not listening. And you feel like, again, like I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Or if they are listening, they're not really hearing what's being said. But because of gossip or secondhand information that nobody takes time to check out the validity of it, or because we may be listening with preconceived ideas or notions, maybe there's a mistrust. Maybe there's this feeling there's always a hidden agenda. This isn't the real story. Wonder what the real story is. All of these things meshed together keep us from listening and hearing profitably. How about just listening and asking questions? Good questions. Honest questions. And get honest answers before we jump to conclusions. Jesus says the sheep have an obligation. They've got a responsibility to listen and hear what the shepherd says. And it's absolutely essential if effective leadership and effective fellowship are going to exist together. And folks, when we listen, we may not always get our way. We may not get every little thing to line up and get my ducks to line up exactly the way I want them to line up every time. But we need to remember as we're listening that our personal rights are not nearly as important as the good of the kingdom. And not any one of us is bigger than the church. The church, the Lord's body, the kingdom of God is more important, and it trumps the personal wants and desires of any member. Jesus would say you need to listen to the voice of the shepherd. Realize he has your best interest at heart, and he has your safety at heart. Then finally, Jesus says in John chapter 10, the sheep need to know the shepherd, they need to hear the shepherd, listen to him. And then he says they need to follow. They need to follow. Was mentioned in this morning's prayer, you can't lead if nobody wants to follow. You cannot lead if there is a resistance to get in line and follow. And it shouldn't be difficult to follow the proper shepherds because they care about you. They care about all of us. That's why Jesus says in verse 11, the shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. You see, his motivation is good. He's not a hired hand. Jesus says that in the story here. He's not a hired hand. He doesn't do it for the money. He does it for the good of the kingdom. So when he sees the wolf coming, he doesn't abandon the sheep, but he protects the sheep because he loves them. The shepherd leads the sheep. He doesn't drive sheep. If you ever study sheep, and particularly the times over there in Palestine, the shepherd did not drive. Here in Texas, we're used to cattle drives. That's not how they dealt with sheep. They led the sheep because the sheep knew the voice and the sheep would follow. And so he doesn't lord it over them, but the sheep follow. It ought to be a struggle to follow someone with that kind of character. Shepherds have a responsibility to lead. Sheep have an obligation to follow. Now, that doesn't mean One's more important than the other. That doesn't mean that a shepherd is more important in the eyes of God than the sheep. That's not at all what I'm saying nor what Jesus is saying. But I think what he's saying, and I'm trying to piggyback on this morning, is the only way it works well to the glory of God and the advancement of the church is for everybody to do their part and to do it well. We've talked over several weeks, God assigned very high standards, very unique qualifications for an elder, a shepherd in the church. I'm suggesting to you this morning that he has assigned high standards to the sheep as well. And the sheep have obligations too. We can't all be leaders. We've got to have some followers. Or as Will Rogers once said, Will Rogers said, everybody can't be heroes. He said, somebody's got to sit on the curb and clap when they go by. So you've got leaders, you've got followers, and we need both. The church needs both. Takes a lot of sheep. A lot of sheep who will follow with enthusiasm. They'll support the elders. And they'll support the decisions that they make. I believe this is what Jesus says are the obligations of the sheep to the shepherd. Now, have you filled those forms out? You done? If you are, pass them to the aisles. Committee members, if y'all would, let's take them back up. You say, why are you doing it right now? Because this is the way we'll get the most forms. If you take them home, they're going to wind up in a drawer somewhere. They're going to be in a stack of mail that you haven't opened. And you're going to be back here next Sunday morning and say, I meant to bring my sheet, but I forgot it. Who are we missing right here? Brock's. So here's one right here. Now, be sure and put your name on the outside of them because they're going to tick that off and make sure they're going to tick you off before it's over with here, okay? And going to be calling you. We thank you for participating this morning, and there's really and truly this committee is very dedicated to hearing from everybody, and they felt like this was the best way to get the most in first. I will tell you this, because I've heard them talk about it. Not an envelope will be opened until all of them are in. So there's not going to be any pregame looking and knowing and talking and all that. But these envelopes are going into Larry Cummings' gun safe, and you know how he protects his guns. So that's where they'll be, and it's probably booby-trapped, so I wouldn't try to open that thing. But they're going to all stay right there until all the envelopes are in, and the committee will open them at one time. Okay? If you have questions that I didn't answer for you this morning, see Larry, Floyd, Brock, Jim, and Michael when he gets back home, and they can answer questions. If you didn't pass it to the aisle just now because you have questions, after they answer them, you can get to them, or there's a basket back there by the door, and you can put your envelope in there as you leave. Jesus came into this world, and he called all of us to be followers, both the shepherds and the sheep. We all follow Jesus, and we all follow God's commands. But Jesus told us plainly, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. So whether you're a shepherd, whether you're a sheep, Jesus wants you to follow him. And this morning, he wants you, if you need to step out, and make a commitment. He wants you to do it right now, this morning, as Andrew leads us in song.